You have questions, we have answers. This is Jane Muller.
And this is Ken Muller. Welcome to our show, all about real estate with Ken and Jane. Well, today, Jane, we have a really juicy topic, landlord-tenant law.
That's something
that's been overdue to talk about. There's so many listeners and clients always ask us questions about, you know, landlord-tenant related issues. And it is a big part of real estate because a lot of people rent and we deal with clients that are both landlords and tenants.
Tenant, yes,
so,
absolutely.
To break it all down for us, we have with us an attorney. His name is Craig Rothenberg, and I'm going to introduce him. But before I get started, I want to inform the listeners this is intended as general information only. It is not specific legal advice. Only your attorney can give you specific legal advice. So without further ado, Craig, welcome to our show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, great. So tell us about what your firm, what types of services your firm does.
Sure. We are a civil litigation practice that also focuses on transactional work as well. So that would be personal injury, general litigation, business disputes, residential commercial real estate, landlord-tenant work as well. Things we don't do. We don't do criminal law. We don't do family law. We don't do bankruptcy or immigration. So those four issues we mainly stay out of. So it's everything on the civil side.
Okay, great. And why don't you please give your phone number in case any of our listeners want to get in touch with you.
Sure. Thank you very much. Our phone number at the office is 732-247-5002. And you could visit our website for more information at www.rothenbergesq.com.
Okay, cool. All right. So we're going to talk about landlord-tenant, so we can't cover all the other services you do in the short time we have on the show.
Sure.
So let's start with the basic thing of a lease. As realtors use the NJAR residential lease, which is approved, which is allowed. Realtors are allowed to fill in the blanks and then present that to the landlord or tenant, and that can serve as the basis for the lease. But if a landlord or tenant don't have a realtor, please, do you have some advice of how the lease should be drafted and things that should go into a lease?
Yeah, sure. So in cases that I've seen where they've even used the NJAR form lease, one of the issues that I've seen with that lease agreement is that it doesn't contain a clause that's very important for landlords. And that clause is one that states that all legal fees, attorney's fees, and costs can be charged as additional rent in the event the tenant breaches the lease and the landlord has to file. If it doesn't contain that magic language saying that those can be charged as additional rent, then the landlord can't include them in the eviction complaint. So, for example, if the tenant's behind on 2 months' rent, the rent is $2,000 a month, and the landlord is and the attorney's charging $1,000, you can't now add that thousand dollars into the eviction complaint that the tenant has to pay, because the lease didn't contain that required language. Recent amendments to the NJAR lease is now showing that that important clause has been included. So if you are using a realtor, I'm confident that they would use, you know, a good form now. But if you're not using a realtor, you could go online and try to find the NJAR form, but you may not actually be using the right one or the most updated one. So I would recommend that you hire an attorney. It's fairly simple process. My office, we do it all the time. We have a residential lease form that we customize for every client because, there's things that need to be tailored. For example, utilities, heat, water, who pays. So those are just one example of things that we would customize on that specific lease agreement.
Mm-hmm. I think in the past, even we had the NJAR standard lease from the Realtor Association, we always recommend the client to, if they want to ask the attorney to read it over to make any changes. So in that way, in case like you just mentioned, right, if anything there, that can be picked up by the attorney. So, I mean,
I'm sorry to interrupt, Jane, but not only do we ask, but I believe it's a requirement, just like it is with the residential realtor contract, that any NJAR residential lease agreement, they have the wording that they have 3 days.
Ken, that's the entitled of attorney review,
but
they don't have to.
That's
their rights.
They have that 3-day cancellation window.
Yes, but we always inform them, so better just ask a lawyer.
And then the other thing is, if you're using the NJAR lease, sometimes you want an addendum to it that has rules and regulations specific to the property. So you can use that lease. The one thing I would not suggest for landlords, if you're not using a realtor, don't go online and type up residential lease agreement and think that's okay, because they're not usually customized to New Jersey. And New Jersey is pretty particular as to the things that can and cannot be in a lease. So I would just recommend either have your realtor put it together and send it over to an attorney, or if you don't have a realtor, send it to an attorney to begin with.
I think you're absolutely right. Recent years during the pandemic, there's a lot of issues with the landlord and tenant and the payment.
Yep.
And a lot of landlords learned the lesson when the handshake or just simple copied from online actually is really doesn't stand much in court. So, yeah, that's always do the things right at the beginning.
The other reason, it's not just the lease agreement that I think you probably need help with, either from a realtor or an attorney. It's also vetting the tenant.
Yes.
You know, I have a case right now. We just finished a case that was one of the most difficult evictions we've ever had. And it mainly came because the landlord bought his first investment property and didn't properly vet the tenant. Had he vetted the tenant, he would have seen multiple evictions in the past. He would have seen multiple red flags that would have just given, you know, made him realize this is not a problem I want to have.
Right. And that's one of the reasons why landlords, it's in their best interest sometimes to use a realtor, a real estate professional, because that's one of the jobs that we're delegated with is to vet the tenant.
Yep.
So we do
to
that,
run the credit and then the identity, we want to make sure.
I think that's probably your most important job in the process.
Yes,
I would even go so far as to say.
Yeah, get the pay stubs, verify employment, you know, whatever.
The landlord references.
Yeah, that's what we even have. We even have a particular form that we ask the landlords, the tenants to fill out, you know, their prior references, if their work history.
Anyone can get a credit score, and that's not good enough. So it goes beyond that. And if you call an attorney, we have access. I mean, everyone has access to the public filing system, but we know how to,
you know how to
do it a little better.
Much better.
You can type in people's names and find past cases, and it's important to do your due diligence.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes. Absolutely. All right, let's talk about some of the particulars. We'll start with the security deposits in New Jersey. Obviously, the maximum allowable for residential lease is 1.5 months rent. There's a lot of issues with security deposits. There's pet deposits. At the end of the lease term, you know, there's the application if there's quote unquote damages, you know, what constitutes legitimate damages, and then the issue of unpaid rent, and then also if the tenants oftentimes want to apply the security deposit towards payment of the last month's rent. So if you could talk a little bit about security deposits and some of those subtopics.
Sure. I mean, we could do an entire show on security deposits.
Right.
So let's start with the basics, right? So you are allowed to collect 1.5 months of security deposit. All right, that's number one. Number two, you must notify the tenant within 30 days of where that security deposit is being placed. That security deposit should be placed in an interest-bearing sub-account with the tenant's name on it. They should be sent monthly. You can set up your bank account so it sends monthly statements telling them that they're getting 1 cent of interest a month, right? You don't get much interest on it.
Right.
But you do it the right way. So that's the way to do it. So now the security deposit sits, right? It sits in the account. People ask about pet security deposits. New Jersey law does not allow an additional security deposit over 1.5 months because the person now has a pet. Whether or not a one-time pet fee is enforceable, I'm not entirely sure. My suggestion would be that if you have a tenant with a pet, raise the rent by $10 a month. Right. That's the way to do it. Right. So if you said, we weren't going to allow pets, but we're now allowing pets, the rent's 1,000. Now it's 1,010, whatever it is that makes the landlord more comfortable. But you can't go above the month and a half no matter what.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
Now, with respect to the security deposit, I'm sorry, did you have a question?
No. Nope.
OK. With respect to the security deposit, as it's let's say we're now at the end of the lease. Right. Mm-hmm. If there is an outstanding balance, then you are allowed to apply the security deposit towards the outstanding balance. Mm-hmm. The problem is now, let's say there's damage to the premises, right? That's the most common thing that we see. Landlord says, I gave these people a nice house. They left my place a mess. What do I do with it? Well, one of the problems that the landlord faces is that the change needs to be provable, right? The damages that happen to that place, they can't just be ordinary wear and tear. They have to be actual physical damage caused by the tenant, and they have to be provable. So how do you go about proving that? First of all, it's extremely helpful that you have thorough and detailed photographs of the place before the tenant moved in. If you don't have that, that's problematic, right? So if you have that, you have now at least created a baseline, a benchmark for what this place looked like before the tenant moved in. Now the next thing you do is a final walkthrough right when the tenant moves out. This is what my place looks like afterwards. And then the question is what happened in between? And in between, if you have a tenant that was there for 10 or 15 years, you can't expect much recovery in terms of, oh, now I need to repaint. Now I need to change the carpets, right? Yeah. That's something that people in their own houses have to do.
You're going
to
throw that out of the judge will laugh at you, right? And
right.
Right. But it gets very interesting. It gets very factual, fact specific on the extent of the damages, because we had a case where a client shared with us their experience in going to landlord tenant court and arguing about the security deposit. The tenant challenged it and said, you wrongfully withheld X amount of dollars. And the landlord says, well, no, because my kitchen floor was damaged. There was there were a couple tiles that were totally broken, so I had to replace the whole floor. And in this particular case, the judge looked at the fact pattern and said, well, that may be true, but I'm going to prorate it. So you had to replace 10 square feet of the 100 square foot floor. So you're entitled to 10% of the floor cost. I'm not going to let you, Mr. Landlord, better yourself by it. So they looked at it very conservatively from the tenant's perspective.
The other thing, it's not just that they're prorating it, it's that you're not getting the value of a brand new floor. The court is not usually just going to give you, okay, well, now the tenant's responsible for an entirely new floor. They may give you the fair market value of the floor as it was. So they're not necessarily just going to be like, oh, new floor costs $3,000, you get $3,000. They're going to say the value of your floor at the time the tenant left was this, and this is the difference, and then you may get that. So the landlord-tenant courts are judges in Middlesex County, Somerset County, Mercer County. They're excellent judges, and they do a great job, especially with a very loaded docket. They are busy, but decisions happen on the fly, and there's not always hard bright line rules to every single thing. And the judges are doing their best to come up with equitable and fair decisions, but you really never know what's going to be charged. And that's why I recommend when a landlord has a tenant that's left and they turn to me and they say, Craig, should I give them back their security deposit? Mm-hmm. You need to be careful. And the reason you need to be careful is because any amount that's been wrongfully withheld, you get charged double damages and legal fees on.
And legal fees. So if you wrongfully withhold $600, that would translate to $1,200 if it's and plus the legal fees of the tenant to recover that amount. So that could be a hefty amount.
That's right. So if you're fighting over paint, sheetrock, and some carpet, I usually recommend just give it back. But if they owe you rent already, in that case, you have a much stronger case, right? And then the other question is people being allowed to use security deposits towards their rent. They're really not supposed to do that because it really hurts the landlord because now the place is damaged and the landlord has no security deposit.
Why don't we pick up this topic? We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back after these messages.
Thank you.
Yeah, because that's a whole...
Prime office space on Route 18 is available for lease. This versatile layout features private offices, conference rooms, and workstations with options to lease from 500 square feet to 2,800 square feet. Ideal for lawyers, accountants, and any professional service provider. Convenience extends beyond the premises with quick and direct access to major highways, including the New Jersey Turnpike, Route 1 and Route 130. To find out more, contact Ken at 908-337-9448. Location, location, location. Yes, that's right. A three-level building located directly on Route 18 in East Brunswick is for sale. A great opportunity to present your business and brand to more than 50,000 passing vehicles. Zoned highway commercial, this building is suitable for retail, service, and professional uses. To find out more, please contact Ken at 908-337-9448.
You've got the questions. They've got the answers. It's All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Mueller. Now let's get back out to our hosts, Ken and Jane.
Okay, welcome back to our show. We're joined today by Craig Rothenberg. He's a civil attorney and specializes in or concentrates in landlord-tenant law, amongst other things. Craig, once again, please give the listeners your contact information.
Thank you. My contact information is, you can call the office at 732-247-5002. I was about to give my cell phone, and I would have been so upset with myself had I actually given out my personal cell phone on the radio. So that's something that clients earn pretty quickly, unfortunately for me.
You have to be a client though first, so you got to
absolutely. You got to earn that. And then my website is www.rothenbergesq.com.
Okay, great. Thanks. So we were going to continue to finish up talking about security deposits. Just before the break, we mentioned what we've experienced. A lot of times the landlords will call us and say, oh, the tenant wants to apply or is telling us they're applying the security deposit to the last month's rent, what to do about it. And it's really a tough call because, we can't give them legal advice. And secondly, I don't know if there is much of anything you can do to stop them other than if you're the landlord, you say, no, I really don't want you to do that because you're lessening the security deposit, which is intended to be there in case there's damages. So what advice, if any, is general advice, again, not legal advice because this is a general listener audience, everything is case by case, but what options could the landlord do in that case?
Well, I mean, it's difficult because now the landlord is at a point where it's the end of the lease, the tenant said, I want to leave, and the tenant said, now apply the last month or month and a half to my deposit, use it for rent. Well, if the landlord decides to take him to court for eviction, the tenant's going to be gone by the time you ever get to court. So you're really kind of out of luck right there. So the option would be ultimately when the tenant is left and you see what's left on the security deposit, you could file in collections in the event that they've damaged the place and there's no security deposit to pay for it. But the landlord is somewhat out of luck in that situation. During COVID, the tenant was allowed to do it. There was an executive order that was allowing the tenant to apply the security deposit to the rent as financial relief. That's over, so the tenant really isn't supposed to do that anymore. My advice to the landlord in this particular situation is if the tenant's going to do that to you, at least get it clear in writing that the tenant's vacating and terminating its lease. That way, in the event the tenant uses the security deposit and then doesn't vacate, at that point, at least you can declare the tenant a holdover and file for eviction. Because we're going to come to this topic, I think, later about what you're allowed to do when the lease terminates.
Right.
But the best thing you can do is at least you can lock the tenant in signed writing that they're leaving. Because that's ultimately, if the tenant's going to be problematic, the landlord always wants to mitigate the losses.
Right. Yeah, that leads really into what I think is a very important topic is terminating the lease, because this is something that I think has a lot of confusion among the general public. Everybody, especially with the NJAR lease, there's a lease that gives a start date and end date. Usually for our leases, they have to be a year or longer. And the issue is a lot of times if the tenant is in good standing and doesn't want to vacate at the end of the term, that gets into a very interesting scenario where if the landlord says, I want you out. I just want to end the lease. The lease agreement says it ends on June 30th, 2024. However, talk about if the tenant is in good standing, I believe in the legal terminology, the landlord needs just cause to end the lease. The tenant says, no, I don't want to leave. I'm a good tenant. The place is clean. I pay the rent well in advance of the due date. So what would happen in that scenario?
Well. This is the main topic because this is what I spend most of my time having to educate landlords on when they call the office. The most common call I get is, I had a one-year lease. The lease has expired. I asked the tenant to leave. They didn't leave. What do I do?
Right?
Mm-hmm. And this is all rooted in a huge misunderstanding of New Jersey landlord-tenant law. And that misunderstanding is that when the tenant's lease expires, in New Jersey, the tenant automatically becomes a month-to-month tenant. Mm-hmm. That's it. So that lease is expired. The tenant is now month-to-month. The expiration of the lease is not a grounds to remove the tenant. Okay, so you can't just say, listen, your lease is ending May 31st. Please confirm you're leaving. The tenant can just say, I'm not leaving. I intend to stay.
Right?
So, and at that point, the landlord has an option. What can you do? Number one, you could accept them as a month-to-month tenant. tenant mm-hmm. under the terms of the prior lease. You can increase their rent. You have to serve them with a specific notice that terminates their tenancy, saying your tenancy is terminated effective May 31st. We are offering you a renewal on a month-to-month basis with this increased rent amount. Rent increases could also be its own show, but
it could be its own show because you have to be taken into consideration the township and the rent control ordinances.
That's right.
And different towns have it.
Yep.
Like, you know, East Brunswick follows the CPI. Certain towns have it by the statutory, and certain towns don't have anything.
Right.
So
there's nothing. There's no New Jersey state law that controls rent increases, so you're subject to mm-hmm. municipal. So people call me all the time, and my answer, unfortunately, is I have to look at the municipal code and get back to
you. Walking cycle.
Right. So some of the towns I know, some of them I don't. But you're always going to be held to what's called the unconscionability standard. So if the rent increase is unconscionable, at that point, you're not going to be able to do it. And I usually look at over, unless there's been no rent increases for a very long time, anything over 7 to 10%, I think you're now getting into dangerous territory, mm-hmm. even though most rent control ordinances are usually 2.5%, 3%, something
right.
like that. So let's talk about now what happens, though. The tenant is staying, and the landlord's like, what do I do? Mm-hmm. They call me up. Well, you have options. One option is leave the tenant on a month-to-month, okay?
Right.
The other option is you can offer the tenant a renewal of the annual lease subject to reasonable changes. Could be a small rent increase,
mm-hmm.
but usually no term of the lease changes other than that small rent increase. Mm-hmm. If the tenant doesn't accept those changes, you have a basis to evict now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can say, listen, the tenant's refusing to sign this lease. It contains reasonable changes. I've served them with the proper notices. Mm-hmm. Now you can file for eviction. My opinion, just my opinion, I personally think it's better to have the tenant on a month-to-month lease. Okay, mm-hmm. so what happens when your tenant's on a month-to-month lease? Okay, let's play that out.
Okay.
A lot of people think the landlord can say you're on a month-to-month lease. I'm terminating you at the end of next month.
60 days notice, but that's that was my follow-up
question.
Can't
do it.
Can't do it because they're good standing, right?
You can't do it, right? The tenant is in good standing. Their month-to-month lease automatically renews. So the landlord can't do that. What it does, the month-to-month lease, it allows the tenant, it's an advantage to the tenant, it allows the tenant to terminate on a month's notice. So the tenant can say, listen, I found another place, I'm buying a house, I don't want to live here anymore,
right.
I'm leaving at the end of next month. Mm-hmm. But what is the advantage to the landlord in that situation? And here it is. You have a little bit more flexibility on a month-to-month tenancy. For example, you own a house, tenants month-to-month. God forbid you get divorced, family tragedy, something like that. You or a family member needs somewhere to move in.
Mm-hmm.
You can now terminate their tenancy on 2 months' notice, and then you're allowed to move in at that point. If they don't leave, you can file for eviction. Now,
because that's one of the reasons for just cause. If a family member, immediate family member, needs to move back into the unit, right?
That's right.
That's one of the, yeah.
Right. So that allows you to get in. Now, I get calls all the time from landlords saying, can I just say that I want to move in?
That's what we're leading to. No, that was, we get those too. And that's fraud.
I always advise against it. The penalties are severe.
Yeah.
I don't remember what they are off the top of my head. I think there's a double damages, paying relocation fees, et cetera. So there's a lot of exposure for that if you lie.
Yeah.
You need to actually move in, bona fide residence, live there for at least 6 months. But the point is that the tenant being on a month-to-month lease, even though it gives the tenant the right to terminate, it at least gives the landlord some flexibility. If that tenant is on a written annual lease, mm-hmm. that lease is going to control and you can't terminate it for if you want to move in or something like that.
And here's where it gets a little bit tricky. Oftentimes the associations for the landlords require an updated lease addendum. They say, oh, your lease expired on May 31st. Where's the renewal? And then you have to explain to them there is no paper renewal, but because they don't understand that it reverts to a month to month. So that's where it can get a little bit sticky because the associations are looking for that paperwork. They say, Mr. Landlord, you're in violation. You don't have a written lease agreement.
But, yep. Well, sometimes HOAs require annual leases, at which point the landlord risks either, getting on the bad side of the HOA.
HOA, because there's not much they can do.
Right.
In that case. Yeah. Also, there's this situation where the landlord comes to a realtor like Jane and says, you know what, I want to sell the unit with the tenant, but I just want to sell it and, liquidate it. I need the cash. But there's a tenant in there. The tenant doesn't want to move out. But that would that be just cause for the tenant to have to move out?
I'm glad you brought that up because that's another reason why it may be advantageous for a landlord to have them on a month-to-month. Okay, so let's talk about the situation where the landlord said, you know what, I'm looking to retire. I want to sell this property, right? Yeah. If the tenant is on an annual lease, like today is April 18th. If it's on an annual lease that goes until January 31st, that tenant comes with the property when you sell it,
right?
They are locked into a lease. That lease needs to be assigned to the new landlord, and you need to have a buyer who wants to own an investment property. But if that tenant is on a month-to-month lease and your potential buyer has certified that he or she intends to personally move into the premises, you can now terminate it on 60 days' notice. So you tell your tenant, listen, we are under contract. Buyer has certified that I intend to move. He or she intends to move in. Your tenancy is terminated in 60 days, end of two calendar months. That's it.
So I think
in a lot of situations, it's very advantageous to keep the tenant month-to-month.
Yeah, I did not realize that the law extends the law for just cause for a buyer that wants to occupy. I didn't realize that would trump the tenants on a month-to-month lease. They would have to vacate if requested to. That is that is a really cool, interesting topic. Yeah. We are out of time. Really quick before we go, Craig, we're going to have to ask you to come back next week because we didn't get to talk about evictions and so many other topics. But once again, please give your contact information for the listeners out there. And thank you again for appearing on our show.
Thank you very much for having me. I was flattered to be asked and really enjoyed being on here. So I look forward to next week as well. If you have any questions, you can call our office at 732-247-5002. Our office is at 93 Bayard Street in downtown New Brunswick, and our website is www.rothenbergesq.com. Please feel free to call us if you have any questions at all in any civil matter. We are here to help. Thank you.
Thank you again, Craig.
Thank you.
We'll see everyone next week. Bye now.
Thank you.
You have been listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Muller, airing every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM. Fox Sports, New Jersey. For feedback and suggestions for future topics, go to their Facebook page, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane, or email them at realestatewithkenandjane@gmail.com or call 732-898-2266.